The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield for One News and Talk Station.
2,000 rand to give away in the Brutal Biz Quiz this evening, and it'll test how well you've been listening to The Money Show and how you've been paying attention, as you do, because I know you do, because you guys are very good at this game, incredibly good at this game, and that's why it's so much fun to play on a Friday night. We ask you questions from around the business world. If you are the person who gets them right, we'll make you the whiz of the Brutal Biz Quiz and send you 2,000 rand. That's still to come. We'll bring you some of the best bits from The Money Show this week in a way of highlighting something you may have missed or reminding you of something you heard, and getting you to tell your friends and your family, and if they're in trouble, your enemies, to listen to the podcast and say, oh, we heard about you on the podcast. You should go and listen there so that you can hear what everyone's saying about you. So we'll do that this evening. Plus, of course, a really interesting take on the SAA bailout. There's a lot to come on tonight's Money Show, which is brought to you by Old Mutual, a licensed financial services provider. Today's the day. Get great financial advice. Do great things.
The Money Show,
your number one news and talk station.
Gary McNamara from Sunland Private Wealth standing by to take us through today's market activity. And what an interesting day it was. The JSE rocketing back through the 60,000 level. It's just the third time ever that the market has closed above this level. And it's courtesy of a stronger rand, which was good for banks and was very good for retailers. We'll talk about some of the updates that have come out of retailers this week, which haven't been particularly good at all. And with the outlook for the South African economy not spectacular, well, one wonders what's got into investors' heads. But Gary knows, because Gary knows investors. What is it about books? I mean, this has been a huge book week, looking at book launches. And there's a common theme going through the book launches at the moment. We saw Reedy Tubby's Quezzy book, and the people went to Hyde Park. I can't even find the right adjective for it, but they flooded Hyde Park Shopping Centre. People were standing and were participating and deeply moved by the Quezzy story. And then Jacques Poe's book launch was huge, and Audre Besson's book launch this week was huge. And my question to you this evening is whether or not it is simply a desire to trust information again. What is it about books that are suddenly so popular? Is it the Jacob Zuma theme? And it may be, but then there's lots of information about Jacob Zuma on the internet, and we're not seeing internet traffic going completely bananas. Is it about people looking for information they believe they can trust? And is the book the trusted distribution mechanism of truth? Because there's so much misinformation on the internet. There's so much garbage, so much good stuff on the internet, but so much garbage on the internet. And sometimes you just get a bit perplexed as to what you can and cannot trust. And somehow we put a lot more faith in books than we do in anything else. And I think that must be one of the biggest phenomena at the moment, as the book that was supposed to be dead 10 years by now is having this resurgence in exclusive books. And the other booksellers in the country must be absolutely delighted by that. Is it just the Jacob Zuma theme that is selling, or is there something else going on in the world of books at the moment? I hope it's a sustained interest and a deep interest in the book trade. But that's just a thought on what they call AS books. Well, government finally seeing the wisdom of getting another investor into SAA. They want to consider that going into many other state-owned enterprises as well. The national carrier has made accumulated losses of 27 billion rand over the past decade. Government will sell part of its stake in Telkom as a short-term stopgap to give the airline the 10 billion rand it needs to continue and keep the banks happy. This week, we had the new chief executive, Vuyani Jahana, in studio, and he told us he was eager to get the carrier back on track so that a stake in it could be sold. But there's only one problem. Who would buy a stake in SAA, which is 27 billion rand in the red over a decade? And this is a question that was raised in Parliament today by Thabang Motsoagi. Now, Thabang is an organizational strategist at Lenomo Advisors, also a former president of the African Civil Aviation Commission. Thabang, what did you tell MPs today?
Well, Bruce, you know, thank you very much for the invitation. My presentation was a fairly long one, almost 55 minutes.
Well, you could summarize it for us in two. How's that for a deal?
Oh, my goodness. basically, you know, we're facing a very interesting situation in the sense that, you know, we've been here before with SAA. The period leading up to, you know, the need to bring Coleman Andrews in 1998 was, you know, a period when SAA was literally insolvent. We're in the same spot again. when he left, you know, there was a turnaround that had been achieved, and all we needed to do was to progress with the achievement, with the turnaround, and really sustain it. We allowed that to regress. And there are a number of reasons why that happened. But the major part of that is just poor management and a lot of other things. We're facing a similar situation now. And the talk is, let's bring in equity partner, let's inject capital into SA, etc. But the fact of the matter is this, Bruce, do we know exactly what we intend the airline to do? What is the purpose of the airline? And this is something that has to be clarified by the owner, the shareholder, the state. Do we want the airline to operate long haul and focus on that? Our market is the African footprint. This is our endowment market. We can then select, you know, destinations that are going to really be sustained into the future. And Africa for the next 15 to 20 years is going to be the growth area in the whole world.
But your issue with SAA goes to whether or not it is an asset worth buying. I mean, and you weren't involved in the days of Transnet, and I think you were involved in the unbundling of SAA because Maria Ramos didn't want an airline on the balance sheet of Transnet. I mean, she didn't want it there. Government wants it for strategic purposes, whatever those might be. Your argument is that it might not be easy or even possible to sell it, certainly not in its current state.
What I'm saying is that there is no basis to decide on that question at this present moment. We need to undergo an exercise that I call fit-for-purpose exercise, taking into account the markets that are potential markets for SAA, domestic here and, you know, internationally, which is the African footprint. Let's ask and answer those questions. What type of organization then do we need to exploit those markets? What does it mean in terms of, for instance, aircraft equipment? You cannot use the same type of aircraft equipment for flying to Ghana or any other of those places and use it for instance, Joburg to Durban.
I mean, have you met Vuyani Jahana, the new chief executive of SAA, yet?
I have not met him as yet, but he was aware that I was making this presentation today. But I'm saying for the next 10 weeks, there must be a very intense exercise defining exactly what is wrong. Concurrent with that, Jahana must plug all the crevices and fault lines while we are defining exactly what the purpose is. And if you can define the purpose, then you can do all the other things that go with the definition of the purpose. You know, fit for purpose.
You're not saying that SAA is unfixable. You're just warning that we've got to fix it before we go and look for a buyer, because if you're selling a broken asset, well, you're going to get a broken asset price for it.
I made a statement that, for instance, if you try to sell it now, I could easily buy it for R1, you know, or someone can buy it for R1. But the fact of the matter is that we don't know what is wrong. There have been about 4 or 5 strategies since 2002.
No, more than that. They've been like 12.
More than that. but Coleman Andrews left it in a position that had really rescued it from what it was before, 3 years before. So what is it that went wrong? Why didn't we do the right things? Why did we allow the regression to happen?
I don't know. Have we really got time to go on a history lesson of SAA and really go on that deep dive? I know it needs to be done. But really, I think Vuyani Jahana is more concerned about fixing the problems. And I don't know if he's got the luxury of time to go and do the deep dive that you propose.
You know, I know this industry. Unless you do what I'm suggesting, it cannot be done. Okay. And I'm not suggesting that 3 months or 6 months. I'm saying 10 weeks.
Okay.
You can define exactly what is wrong and whether it is fixable or not fixable. You may find that at the end of the 10 weeks, that one part of SA totally has been, you know, there is no oxygen there. It's dead. You may find that if we do 1, 2, or 3, we can put it in such a situation that we are now be in a position to attract a partner based on a sound strategy to carry it out. Now, we're not there yet. We don't know. We keep on hearing that there are strategies. Where is that strategy? What does it say precisely?
There we go. Let's leave it there. Thabang Motsoe, he is a former president of the African Civil Aviation Commission, and he's been telling MPs that SAA, as we know, has got a problem, and I think he's putting his hand up to help.
The Money Show. Bruce is on Twitter
at Bruce Business.
If you do great CSI, corporate social investment in your business, tell us about it. Contact at 702. And I'm going to tell you more details about that coming up in a couple of minutes' time. Contact at 702.co.za. I want you to tell us about the clever CSI that you are doing in your business. More details on that coming up in just a little while. Also, a couple of interesting stories bouncing about today. There's that story of SAA, of course, which has got all sorts of people concerned about whether or not there is a stake in SAA worth selling. But today's markets were nothing short of extraordinary. In a moment, we'll tell you a tale of money being made, fortunes being made on the JSE.
The Money Show.
The Markets.
Gary McNamara from Sunlum Private Wealth is in studio this evening. The JSE, for the third time only ever, back above the 60,000 level, Gary, and was on a day where the currency strengthened and there was a huge recovery in retailers and banks.
Absolutely, Bruce. Good evening. I guess the whole market, the story of the day has been Naspers, certainly for the year. And then, as you say, the banks and retailers having a very good day today on the back of a stronger currency. I saw some of the international brokers upgrading some of our retail stocks, just saying that the prices had really come down to levels where you were discounting the worst case scenario. And on the back of that, you also had some emerging market cash flows coming in. So I think those two factors, and on the longer term basis, our banks and retailers have been our quality stocks if you want to play the South African domestic economy point of view. And I think they've priced in some fairly dire economic situations in the local market.
Naspers is such an interesting one because it has defied expectations across many parts of the market. Today's 3.5% jump to 3,845 Rand. You've got to say it slowly because it's such a big number. 3,845 Rand. Extraordinary. And it's all to do with Tencent coming out with a better than expected update this week in which it said, look, profits are about 70% up. And it's a company, Tencent in China, that keeps on buying, keeps on growing, and keeps on creating the sorts of games that hundreds of millions of Chinese people would seem want to play.
Absolutely, Bruce, and it's certainly been the story of the year, 80% up calendar year, and it represents 21% of the index. So it's 16% of what the all shares done this year has come from Naspers. So it just puts it into context. But as you say, the results or the third quarter updates or the results that came through this week were certainly beat in analyst expectations for about the fifth time. They keep doing it. And the big factor is that the top line growth is 61% year on year, 15% quarter on quarter. So the numbers are staggering, and you just keep getting upgrades from analysts, and people forecast those type of results going forward. So, you know, you're just getting the Tencent carrying the Naspers share price, and you're getting the rest at a bigger and a bigger discount. And that's the thing. And I think you're getting a lot of offshore shareholders maybe looking at access to Tencent via Naspers as a cheaper entry. So it certainly looks like it's got some legs still.
Now, but here's my question to you, Gary, and it's a deeply unfair question, and I can see you getting red already in anticipation. But here is the question, and that is, if Naspers keeps beating analysts' expectations, is it because is it because Tencent is an exceptional business, or is it because analysts of Tencent are rubbish?
No, I think Tencent is an exceptional business. Naspers, actually, as if you look at the rump, you could argue that management's actually detracted value. I think that's being a bit unfair, but it just talks to how much Tencent has contributed to the performance, not so much the rest of the business, of which there are sizable businesses in the rest of Naspers, but it's definitely been a Tencent story, and they've been upgraded again on the international markets, and that'll continue to carry Naspers.
Now, the argument that Naspers is being seen as a cheap entry point into Tencent is an interesting one because Naspers owns 35% of Tencent. That 35% of Tencent is worth about 1.8 trillion rand. The whole of Naspers is worth about 1.3 trillion rand, which means you're getting a 500 million rand discount on that 35% stake in Tencent.
Correct. So if you do a sum of the parts valuation on Naspers and you put the market price in for Tencent, which you probably shouldn't because being a holding company, it should trade at a slight discount to its listed price in Hong Kong, but you're getting a 40% discount on the sum of the parts. So even if you put a 20% discount on those sum of the parts, you've still got quite a lot of room for error in the rest. And I think that's what some of the international investors are looking at.
Yeah, look, it's extraordinary. And the contribution it's made to the JSE for index investors this year has been nothing short of extraordinary. The Foschini Group is a rare beast in that it has got a successful UK strategy. So many other companies are finding the UK to be the graveyard of their international expansion ambitions. Companies are getting their fingers badly burnt in the UK right now, whether it be Gourmet Burger Kitchen for famous brands, or whether it be Brait and their retail activities there, and many other companies getting hurt in the UK. Foschini Group flying really, really high.
Yeah, Bruce, it's a tough one. And Foschini, you've got to take your hat off to management. They've done a fantastic job, and they've certainly outperformed the rest of the index and the market from that point of view, specifically on the retail side. But the challenge that you've got with a very sluggish domestic economy, a lot of these local retailers have felt the need to go and buy something internationally. And with our weak rand, and, you know, a bit of a Johnny-come-lately scenario, you don't tend to buy the top brands in those overseas markets, and you end up paying for them if they disappoint. And a lot of the guys buy a business hoping to turn it around, and then they get caught on the wrong side of the currency, or the underlying operation doesn't perform well. But as you say, Foschini, you've got to take your hats off, and they've done a fantastic job.
I can talk about companies that have gone into markets and have got it wrong. Our hospital groups are guilty of that, I'm afraid. I mean, Netcare's updates on Monday this week has sent that share price all the way down to 23 Rand, and Mediclinic on a slow burn down to 104 today. Both of them really struggling globally.
Yeah, Bruce, it's a sector that's really had a horrible week, as you say. Netcare initially this week, and then Mediclinic. And the market had expected disappointing results from Mediclinic, but they certainly were even worse than the market expected. The Swiss business is really battling, and they're seeing some of their clients shopping down, bearing in mind that Swiss business, the Hörslander Group, is a very high-end, almost like a hospital type of business. So they've got to restructure that to some degree, looking to maybe offer a slightly lower entry level into that market. And then they've really had the El Noor business in Dubai that's really battled, and it's a difficult one to get the handle on. They've talked about a turnaround strategy, but these results were very poor. And even in the local operation, bed nights were down 3.5%. So for the whole sector, they're really battling. And then you've got the National Health Insurance, which is a big uncertainty in the local market, hanging over the whole sector. So they look cheap from a historical point of view if you look at pricing as a base point, but they're really in a tough operating environment at the moment.
Okay, here's the most unfair question, because I've asked you several tonight and I've enjoyed it. Thank you, Gary, for taking them on the chin. What is Naspers going to get to 4,000 Rand before Capitec gets to 1,000?
Naspers before Capitec.
So Naspers will get to 4,000 Rand a share before Capitec gets to 1,000.
Yeah, I just think it's got stronger drivers at the moment behind it, and it's a momentum stock. If you look at a graph of Naspers, as we said, it looks like a flagpole, and it's certainly at the moment with really momentum investors getting behind it. It looks like it's just not going to stop, but from a technical point of view, it's a straight line, which we generally get quite scared of.
I mean, Karen Richards, who is one of the most famous analysts on Twitter, she does a lot of technical analysis. I don't know if you follow her on social media, but she was saying Naspers has barely touched its, I think, 1-year moving average at all in the last decade. I think it's only done it 3 or 4 times. And she panicked out of Naspers at 2,500 Rand a share because she was really concerned about the price earnings multiple of 90 times. Yet this company is outstripped that many times over the last year, just even over the last year.
Yeah, I don't follow her, but it's a very difficult
business. You should. You'll learn stuff.
Yeah, as I say, you know, the 10-cent business has really driven them, and it's a difficult one to get your handle on from a valuation point of view, because you do need to take the volumes into account and the margins that are expanding. So I think people, some of them have taken profits, and you can't accuse them of not taking profits, because in a lot of portfolios, it has significant weighting, and it can go wrong. But for the moment, the momentum's behind it.
Well, certainly. There we go. Gary McNamara from Sundown Private Wealth, forecasting. And we know what a risk that is, Gary. Naspers will get to 4,000 Rand a share before Capitec will get to 1,000. Capitec up 4% today to an enormous 975 Rand a share. And this is, or was, South Africa's smallest bank. It's now the fourth biggest in terms of market value on the JSE.
The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield, your number one news and talk station.
The Money Show is brought to you by Old Mutual, a licensed financial services provider. Today's the day. Get great financial advice. Do great things. Welcome to The Money Show. I see the chief executive of MTN in Benin has been ordered to leave that country. The reason? Activities detrimental to security and public order. Now, the news follows an announcement by the Benin government that it was fining MTN Benin to the tune of 3 billion rand for unpaid spectrum fees. Now, MTN says the chief executive, Stephen Blewett, will do as the government orders, but it does dispute the allegations. And yeah, it's come under a huge amount of pressure in many of the jurisdictions in which it operates on the African continent. Now, if you do great CSI, corporate social investment in your business, tell us about it. Contact at 702.co.za. No matter how big or how small, we want to tell your inspiring story about how you use corporate profits for good in South Africa, and we'll do it every Monday in December. Mad Mondays, make a difference Mondays. Tell me how you do it. Contact at 702.co.za. This is The Money Show. I'm Bruce Whitfield, and it's time for the best bits of The Money Show. And we bring you these best bits just in case you missed something. You might want to re-listen to something, or maybe just want to be reminded that you need to go to our podcast to get the whole interview if something pricks your interest. And I was really impressed by the new SAA chief executive, the latest CEO at the helm of the national carrier. It might be wishful thinking, but he looks like he might just be made of the right stuff to rescue the national carrier. Vuyani Jahana, born in Kunu in the Eastern Cape, also the birthplace of Nelson Mandela. I asked him whether or not he would be able to guarantee, this is Vuyani Jahana, not Nelson Mandela, you understand. I asked Vuyani Jahana whether or not he would be able to guarantee that the airline will not ever ask for another bail from government again.
I'm confident of the turning around of the strategy. Also keep in mind that the balance sheet position of SAA is not just about the 10 billion rand. So we need to get it to the right position. What is important is how you get that. You can get that through a strategic equity partner that comes in at the right time. So we need to look at the timing of things. So the next couple of months, we're going to be engaging on the strategy. We're going to engage with the board and find a way of the timing of things. But what we know today is that we have to try and get the liquidity position right.
How much is government prepared to sell of SAA?
So there's been no clear indication from the shareholder. So,
but they want control.
I would assume so, but we haven't even gone to that level of detail. Yeah,
because SAA is still regarded by government as a strategic asset. It's seen as being pivotal to South Africa's trade, engagement, investment, getting people in, getting people out.
Yeah, it is. It is a strategic asset, and I think we have to be careful here, because at times when people say it's a strategic asset, there tends to be an indication that therefore it should run at a loss. So my view is that a strategic asset is an asset that does the bigger developmental agenda, but still self-sustainable on its own.
Vuyani Jahana, born in Kunu in the Eastern Cape, the new chief executive of SAA, and he is a commercial guy. He came from Vodacom Business, where he was chief executive after a very secure and good tenure there, and he's taken it as a mission to make SAA sustainable. Lots of speculation that President Jacob Zuma is very keen to push through free tertiary education, regardless of the consequences. One of the quality of what the education will be, and also who is actually going to pick up the bill for this. The Hayer Commission warned that it would cost tens of billions of rand. The Davis Tax Committee published a tax report on Monday, and it said fee-free higher education for all tertiary students in the country, including the wealthy, was not, and I'm going to quote this, financially possible or desirable in the short to medium term. Judge Dennis Davis came onto the show to tell us about his report.
This is a report which was generated way more than a year ago. And the reason why it was generated at the time was because we thought, bearing in mind that probably nobody has a greater sort of helicopter view of the tax system and revenue than we did, that we should give the minister some advice as to what to do. And of course, the thing just collected dust. So now all of a sudden, because the minister, I think this minister has come out and said, these things should be out in the public domain, it's out in the public domain. My difficulty in trying to answer your question is that when we actually thought about higher education, the situation was bad, but not as parlous as it is now. I mean, a year later, the assumptions that we made then probably are not assumptions I'd be prepared to make today, given 50 billion shortfall.
I mean, so the assumptions, therefore, are out of date. Should you have released the document at all?
Well, I think the document still makes more... frankly, all due modesty, I think the document still makes a contribution, okay. A significant contribution. Why? Because what it basically says is, number one, that we can't afford to pay for free tertiary education at university. We couldn't do it then, and we can't do it now. And then the second question we grappled with was, could we find ways to actually increase the threshold? It's perfectly unacceptable that only people whose income, family income is 125,000 rand less, get free education, because clearly there are lots of students who are meritorious and can't afford and have anxieties, and we have to deal with that. So that's what we were grappling with. I think that that inquiry is as relevant today as it was then. And frankly, when I look at our 35-page report and trawling through the 700-page report of the Hare Commission, what sure they're saying very different things.
He just did it more succinctly. A former executive of Nedbank, and when she started off as a Latin teacher, and then she got her dad helped to get a job at the PERM, at the Permanent Building Society, became the PERM, Nedbank bought the PERM, and she became a senior executive at Nedbank. And many people in banking saying that Gail Kelly could have been a chief executive at Nedbank, but it wasn't to be, because she and her husband made a family decision probably a decade and a half ago, maybe longer, two decades ago, to move to Australia with a young family. She's written a new book called Live, Lead, Learn. Gail Kelly rose to become the most powerful woman in banking in Australia. She was chief executive of the banking group Westpac, and she told us why now she is retired. She's accepted a position to be on the Woolworths board.
You know, I'm so proud of my South African roots. I'm so proud of the foundations that were laid here for me. I mean, if I think about my life, two-thirds of it was here. Mm. And I had the privilege of a wonderful education here, a wonderful family, strong family values, and excellent opportunities that the Nedcorp Group and Nedbank provided me. So I feel very strongly indebted to South Africa. And it actually was those foundations and those opportunities that equipped me to be effective in Australia. You learn to make things happen here, to use that word again. You learn to be accountable. You learn to deal with shades of grey. You learn to deal with ambiguity. You embrace change. You love diversity, because this is the world that you operate in within mm-hmm. South Africa. Those are very important features in any business community anywhere around the world. And in Australia, we're much in demand. So if you could go in and listen and learn in the Australian context and adapt and grow in their cultures, but bring these characteristics of energy and drive and being prepared to be accountable and stand up, learn as you go, you can be effective. But you now just, I want to come back to actually contributing something in this community in a business sense.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the impact of what you do, which is interesting. You just refer to Australia as them, in their culture.
Well, there you are. You know, you never take Africa out of the girl. It's in me. It's in my heart. It's in my soul. It ever will be.
There's almost a song there. Oh, dear, the producers of the show. You can't live without them. You can't live with them, and you can't live without them. Coming up in a moment, we'll play the Brutal Biz Quiz. That was Gail Kelly, by the way. She could have been chief executive at Nedbank, but she wasn't. Instead, she became chief executive of one of the biggest banking groups in Australia.
It's time to put your business knowledge to the test. The Biz Quiz with MTN on The Money Show.
Which senior official in National Treasury made headlines when he resigned this week, Sipiwe?
It was Michael Kelly.
You're half right, Sipiwe, which means you're half wrong. And if you're half wrong, I'm afraid you're wrong enough not to go through to the next round of the Biz Quiz. Sorry about that. Kevin, which half was he right on?
The half was Michael.
That's correct, yes. And the other half is?
Sachs.
Michael Sachs, absolutely right. Several reports on Monday indicating that Michael Sachs resigned last week over interference by President Jacob Zuma at National Treasury. Alexander Parker has written a book. It's called 50 People Who Stuffed Up the World. One of those words is different. What is the title in the UK? You change one of the words in 50 People Who Stuffed Up the World. And the title in the UK is slightly different. One word has changed. What is that word? What is polite for stuffed?
Ruined?
No, they haven't ruined. Ruined's a bit strong, I think. Ruined is a bit strong. Craig?
Bruce, 50 people have messed up the world?
50 people have messed up the world. Absolutely right. That was a vicious question, producers. Vicious, vicious, vicious. Nasty producers. I wouldn't ask a question like that. You understand that, Paul? I'm the good guy. Richard Branson's first autobiography, published in 1998. What was it called?
Screw it, let's do it is
a more recent one, Craig. I'm afraid not. No. Richard Branson's first autobiography, published in 1998. Paul is called?
Losing My Virginity.
Absolutely right. He is most recent one, and we chatted to him about it on Monday, Finding My Virginity. The best part of that book, Paul, is if you go to the back, and he's listed about 200 times he's almost killed himself. He's got letters permanently written to his wife and children just in case the next time he actually does succeed in killing himself. He's an extraordinary guy. Spell coup d'etat, Paul.
C-O-U-P, then new word D, apostrophe E-T-A-T.
I'm going to give it to you. It's not exactly right, but because my producers, I've been in a bad mood this week. They made my life hell. I'm not going to make your life hell on their behalf. The E has got a little thing on the top of it, a little umlaiki thing. Coup d'etat, because okay. It's French and complicated. Because you're not French, I'm not going to hold you to it. Who's going to host the Rugby World Cup in... Who did host the Rugby World Cup in 2007?
France did.
They did. And now 10 years later, they'll be given the right to do it again in 2023. And Stephen Curtis is fed up with them. What will you find on DSTV channel 405? And you're not allowed to swear.
Oh, my word. I think you've...
Lots of people are very cross about the fact that this is on channel 405.
I think it's the previous Gupta Link channel. Is it ANN7?
I nearly gonged you out, but I'm not ANN7. I'm fair. Paul, well done to you. You're the winner of the Brutal Biz Quiz this evening. Paul has won himself a 2,000 Rand courtesy of MTN Business. Indeed, on DSTV channel 405, Alta is meeting with MultiChoice next week, saying that they shouldn't allow this channel to be on air, and they shouldn't certainly be paying them millions of Rand for the news that they carry on that channel. We'll see what MultiChoice's response is. One of my most commented on, it wasn't even my tweet, somebody tagged me on a tweet about cancelling their DSTV subscription, and lots of followers went completely mad on that particular one. So well done to you, Paul. You are the Wiz of the Biz Quiz. You do get 2,000 Rand courtesy of MTN Business. And if you're in business, you'll know that the world moves at the pace of technology, and so does cybercrime. It's vicious, and you need to get control of it. MTN Business understands the importance of protecting what helps your business grow, and that's why they are the ICT provider with end-to-end security solutions. They'll do everything they can to protect you, preparing your business for any threat. MTN Business Cybersecurity. Make sure that you get your vulnerability assessments done, your IT network security tightened, your email security sorted, firewalls put up, and mobile device security nailed down. To protect your business, visit mtnbusiness.com/ZA.